where so much of that retirement money went in 2022, not up. I'm David Brancaccio. 2022 was a rough ride for those saving for retirement. Fidelity Investments, a leading manager of these accounts, reports the average 401k accounts through companies lost more than a fifth of their value last year, 21%. Poof. Individual accounts, IRAs, down 23%. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Average account balances for both 401ks and IRAs fell to around $104,000 in 2022, according to Fidelity Investments, a marketplace underwriter. That low level of retirement savings?
It'll scare the daylights out of you.
At least if you're a financial analyst like Greg McBride at Bankrate.com.
Americans generally are undersaved for not just emergencies, but retirement as well.
To cope with emergencies, people often raid their retirement funds.
There was an uptick in loans and hardship withdrawals from retirement plans. With inflation moving to 40-year highs, that has shredded a lot of household budgets.
But these early withdrawals are costly, says Robert Frick at Navy Federal Credit Union.
Penalties are severe. And once you withdraw that money, you pay the penalty, and then you can only gradually add it back in most cases.
Meaning, says Frick, you lose out on future investment gains once the stock market turns around again. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures this morning are all up in the 5 to 6 tenths of a percent range. The key stock index in Amsterdam is up sharply, 1.6% now. We're expecting more evidence of an economic rebound in China since it lifted COVID containment measures. Economists expect China's factory activity to have rebounded in January. We'll get that data Wednesday. All these factories need power, and a new report finds that China is doubling down on energy sources that produces a lot of climate-altering carbon dioxide, namely power plants fed by coal. Marketplace's Nova Safo has that.
The report by the Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air and the Global Energy Monitor says China approved 6 times as many coal-fueled power plant projects last year than the rest of the world combined. At the same time, Chinese authorities slowed the pace of retirements of older coal-powered plants. Electricity demand in China has been increasing. The report says last year's investment in coal power is the country's most substantial in 7 years. And many of the plant projects had their permits fast-tracked so construction could start within months. Those plants, once completed, could begin adding power to China's electricity grid within a few years. But the report says China could still reduce its carbon emissions if power demand stabilizes or slows, and if the country continues to invest in clean power generation. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
It'll soon be a little cheaper for many low- and middle-income people and first-time homeowners to buy a house. The Biden administration just announced it's lowering rates on the mortgage insurance people have to pay when they take out a loan backed by the Federal Housing Administration. Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
Lenders look at 3 main things when deciding whether to give you a mortgage.
One is, do you have enough income to cover the monthly mortgage payment? Second, do you have enough savings to pay for the down payment? And third, is your credit score good enough that you can qualify for a mortgage?
Jenny Schutz at the Brookings Institution says if you don't have all three, it can be hard to become a homeowner, but not impossible if you apply for a mortgage backed by the Federal Housing Administration.
FHA tends to target households who are sort of on the margin on often all three of those categories.
If you have a fair amount of debt or a low credit score, it's harder to get a conventional mortgage, but you might have a better chance at an FHA-backed loan. If you go that route, you'll also be required to get mortgage insurance, which adds to your total monthly payment. This change will reduce that insurance premium by maybe $600 to $1,000 a year or so, depending on the size of your loan.
This isn't going to make the difference for somebody who has no money to pay for a down payment or somebody who really can't afford the mortgage payment, but if you're sort of on the margin,
then saving $50 or $100 a month might make the difference between being able to buy and not being able to buy, she says. That's especially true for low-income buyers and first-time buyers in less expensive housing markets.
Every dollar makes a difference.
David Dworkin is with the nonprofit National Housing Conference.
While $1,000 a year may not seem like a lot, it has an impact in 2 ways. One is that there's more money to support your basic expenses and to repair things that go wrong in a house.
And two, it may also help some people qualify for a mortgage in the first place.
Because we're also looking at how much you're paying for your housing expenses compared to how much you earn. And that $1,000 a year can help with that calculation.
Which means, Dworkin says, more people should be able to become homeowners as a result of this change. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
One of the tougher issues for Britain and the EU is what to do about trade across the historically fraught border between EU member Ireland and Northern Ireland, now out of the EU. Europe and UK leaders are meeting on this today, the BBC's Katya Adler reports.
For Rishi Sunak, a deal avoids a looming trade war with Brussels, the UK's biggest trade partner, after the government previously threatened to unilaterally override the original Northern Ireland agreement. Better relations also open up new possibilities, like UK access to the EU's respected Horizon Research Programme, a financial services agreement, and improved arrangements with France to stop people smugglers. Brussels, meanwhile, yearns for a friendlier post-Brexit era with the UK. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has served as a reminder of shared values and priorities.
Katya Adler's with the BBC. And a Wall Street Journal story this morning is another reminder not to confuse your company with your friend. It explores how some firms get rid of workers without calling them layoffs. One way is to ratchet up subpar performance reviews so people feel unwelcome. Another approach goes like this. Sure, you can keep your job, but to do so, you'll have to move with your family far away. People who quit wouldn't get severance and may not be eligible for unemployment benefits. The reporting also suggests some companies may not want to admit they're downsizing. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.